I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Thessalonians, please. 2 Thessalonians. Paul has been encouraging this church, as many were afraid that they had missed the coming of God. They had missed something. And the Lord is encouraging and reminding these believers that no, they didn't miss anything. And they are comforted, as we noted at the end of chapter 2. Verse 16 says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." It is true that the church of God has been called by him. We have been chosen by him, and we are comforted by him. And this is for the good work that God has for us to do. Now, what Paul does as he speaks of these words of comfort, he reminds us of God's grace. And grace should be something that we talk about a lot as followers of Jesus. You will notice at the end of verse 16, good hope through grace. It is God's grace where he is giving to us what we do not deserve. And each of us do well to remember that we are beneficiaries of God's grace. Now, Paul, out of everybody here, Paul understands these truths. He understands the good word and the good work of God. He understands that God has called him to be a preacher of the gospel, and especially to the Gentiles. And so with that in mind, he says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us." He says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not the faith." It is not often that the Apostle Paul asks people to pray for him. It is often you see him praying for them. But there are a few occasions where you do hear him making such a request. Romans chapter 15 and verse 30 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11 says, "You also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." Then, of course, that passage in Ephesians chapter 6, right after we read about the spiritual armor, and prayer kind of sums all of that up. And we read in chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 19 and 20, "And for me that, and pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." In the first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5 and verse 25, he simply says, "Brethren, pray for us." When we ask people to pray for us, there are many things that we are assuming. We are assuming, as we ask them to pray for us, we are assuming that they too believe in an Almighty God. that they too understand that God is good and that God understands our life. We're also assuming that they will pray, that they believe that prayer works, that they believe that prayer is a valuable asset to the Christian life, that prayer is that wonderful gift from God that whereby we may communicate with Him directly, that we may interact with the Creator. When we ask people to pray for us, we are in essence saying, we don't have it all together. We need help. And we know God is the one who can help us. Would you pray with us? Indeed, it is a humbling experience, isn't it? I can imagine missionaries, Les and Deb, you're here with us today, you know, different missionaries, as you travel around and you're asking for support and you're asking people to pray, that's a humbling place to be. But I would say, dear ones, it's a wonderful place to be. For truly, what does God say? Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. James chapter 4. You know, we can be real bashful about asking people to pray for us. It's a sign of weakness. I don't have it all together. Paul says, brethren, pray for us. Now, in his acknowledgement and in this request, we see him mindful of two specific things. He's mindful of his personal calling. And that is this, his calling to preach the word of the Lord. You look at that verse 1, it says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. So in the context of his request for prayer, please pray for me, is bound up his personal calling of realizing that God has put a calling on my life to proclaim the word of the Lord. He even instructs the brethren in how to pray that the word of the Lord may have free course. That word, you could literally say it is, may run ahead, may speed rapidly forward, may run swiftly. I know that those of you who have done any kind of running, you realize that you don't normally run with weights on your feet and on your arms and a big backpack. Now, of course, when you're in the military, I've seen them. That's exactly what you do. But if you're running and you're running a race, and the goal is you want to win that race, you want to run without hindrances. You want to be able to reach the end in the fastest and most efficient way possible. And in some ways, this is the way Paul is viewing his calling of ministering the word of God, and the word of the Lord as it's going forth is almost like this runner that God, would you allow it to just go forth freely, that it would just flow without hindrance. I dare say if you ask any preacher, he could very personally tell you about hindrances that come when you're preaching. About experiences where you're motoring right along and then the next moment everything's gone. And you're just, where was I? Things can happen. How often has it happened when we have a very, where just a very powerful point has been made, and then something happens in the environment, and everybody's distracted. You know, from our perspective as preachers, we're like, "Ah, it's stolen away." Now, I know better, and you should know better too, that it doesn't matter what's happening in the environment. If God wants you to hear it and he's gonna impact your life with it, he's gonna do it no matter what the environment is. But the reality is that we live in a cursed world that is not accepting of the word of the Lord. You know, this term word of the Lord is it's an interesting term. I enjoy just looking at it a bit further. It is, in the Old Testament, most often associated with the prophets. The word of the Lord is that stamp of authority. It's a message of authority coming from God, the God of heaven. And so the prophets, it would often be said, they came with the word of the Lord. What does that mean? It came with the authority of the Almighty God. It was the message from heaven. It is the word of the Lord. And Paul recognizes this is his calling, and that it may go forth without hindrance, speed forth rapidly, spread abroad without hindrance. And not just that, that it be honored, that it be glorified. This is the idea of that it be given its proper due, be held in high regard. Now, we can look at times we go out and we proclaim the gospel out in the street and to people that don't know the Lord, and sometimes they will respect the word of the Lord and listen. Other times they will no thank you and walk away. And, you know, so often that's where our mind goes. But I believe God wants us to think personally today. What do I do with the word of the Lord? Do I honor? Do I give the word of the Lord its due reward, due honor in my life? In that, by the way I listen, by the way I apply it, by the manner that I expose myself to it, by the time I give to it. All of these different things speak to the honor that is given to the word of the Lord. And so Paul, in recognizing his personal calling of preaching the word of the Lord, he says, church, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, be honored. And then what he says is, he says, as it is with you. He affirms the church and says, I have seen this in you. And that's why I believe it's important to make the personal application to us as Christians. Is the word of the Lord the honored and respected authority in my life? Do I just give it lip service? Do I just go to church because that's the right thing to do? Because that's what my family expects me to do? Or indeed, do I realize this is the word from heaven? This is God's word. And I'm not talking the preacher's word. I'm talking the word of God, okay? I'm not trying to exalt pastors. We're exalting the word of the Lord. And Paul, just like pastors, are messengers of them. Now, I'm not an apostle, and I don't have claim to new revelation from God. Paul, he did. He was an apostle. But nevertheless, I still proclaim, and you still hold in your hand and in your heart the word of God, the word of the Lord. And so pray for us. Pray that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, that it may have its way. We heard from Bangladesh, and we heard about the difficulties that are taking place in the villages. As those who are serving the Lord, those who are bearing the word of the Lord into these villages are finding it difficult. Oh God, we pray that the word of the Lord would spread rapidly in those places and it be honored. So not only does Paul pray, ask the church to pray concerning his personal calling, but also the present challenges that he's facing. He specifically has individuals in mind. Now, we're not given names. Everybody distracted right there. We're not given names. But what we are told is their qualities. Look at verse 2. And that we may, and pray that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not the faith. Present challenges. We can wish all day long that we didn't have challenges. From a church standpoint, we could wish all day long that we didn't have opposition. And, you know, hey, that there was no sin in the world. When then, where would we be then? And, you know, you think about all those things. The reality is we live in a cursed world. Sin is here. And we still have a sinful flesh in us, don't we? Yes, we do. Paul here is acknowledging and realizing here, and he's asking the church to pray because he's experiencing unreasonable and wicked men. Now, that word unreasonable, some translations could say have said absurd. You could say out of place. They're not in their place. They do not belong. When you think of that in that perspective, you realize that often what happens is men infiltrate churches and they don't belong there. They are not regenerate, born-again individuals. They are there for personal gain, or as instruments of the devil to seek to cause disruption, disunity, and trouble. In fact, Paul warned the Ephesian elders of this very thing in Acts chapter 20. And I want you to listen how he describes them. Acts chapter 20, he says to the leaders of the Ephesian church, verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this," verse 29, "that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch." So here we are. He's explaining to these leaders of the church, there's going to be wolves that come in amongst the flock. Now, they may look like the flock, but they are not of the flock. They're a wolf. And then he says, there may even be some that rise up from within you that seek to draw away disciples away from the truth. This is those unreasonable, absurd, out of place men. Paul's experiencing these in his life. People that were close to him falling away. We aren't given names, we aren't given all the details in this context, but we know there were challenging people to deal with. But not just them, there's just the plain wicked ones. The ones who from the outside do whatever they can to disrupt what's going on in the church of God. To disrupt the preaching of the Word of God. To disrupt the movements of God's missionaries, of His apostle. Wicked, another translation is evil. That's how that word's usually translated, evil. I think we understand a little bit about evil as we look into our world today, and we see a shooter who enters into a school, and the media defines him as what? Evil. And you have people left in grief as a result of wickedness and evil, and it's everywhere. And we experience it on a regular basis in our own lives. What's Paul's request? Deliverance. Deliverance. Brethren, pray for us. Pray that I can accomplish my calling, proclaiming the Word of God without hindrance, that it be honored, and that we be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Because the truth is, not all have the faith. What is the faith? The faith is that gift from God, that belief that God has given to us, that He is true, that He's given us His Word of God, the Word of God. And that the Word of God is true as it proclaims that Jesus Christ, God's Son, came and lived a perfect and sinless life, God in human flesh. And that He died upon a cross to meet God's demands for a perfect sacrifice to pay the penalty of sin, which is death. And that He rose again on the third day, showing victory over sin and over death. Yes, Christianity is built on faith, but it is an informed faith by the Almighty God. You see, God wants us to be men and women, children, boys and girls of faith. And this is not just, any faith out there. This is the faith in the one true God and the revealed Word that speaks of Jesus Christ and the gospel. This is what sets us apart from all other belief systems in the world. Jesus Christ. He is our Lord. So I want to circle back as we wrap up our time. The Word of the Lord. That word is logos. And who is described as logos? Jesus. And John, in John chapter 1, is very clear. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It is Jesus Christ. Brethren, pray for us. You know, as we talk about praying for one another, let's not be bashful about that. Let's realize that there is a blessing in the brotherhood, the family of God, we should say, that we can pray for one another. As you think about that, and people come and ask you to pray for them, pray for them. Don't just say it. Don't just say you'll pray for them. Pray for them. And my encouragement is, in a practice that I've been working on, is praying for them right then, right there, in their presence, so they can hear it. Do it. Pray for them. And dear ones, it's okay to ask for a prayer, because you are acknowledging, I need help. I need God's help. And won't you join me? Won't you help me by praying for me. God has a calling on each one of our lives. The evil one wants to hinder us every step of the way. But God is greater. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Remember the power of the word of the Lord. How do you respect it and honor it in your own life? Is it glorified in you? By you? I trust that is true. Oh God, help us as we navigate a difficult world and difficult times. But you have granted us the precious gift of prayer, the precious word of the Lord, and the precious family of God to walk with. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.